What a great hymn that one is, isn't it? And it's not a modern one, is it, by any means? God was raising hymn writers before Stuart Townend was born, which is good. Now, today, just a warning to tonight's sermon might be a bit controversial. If it is, have a quiet word with me afterwards. Don't go home and put my picture on your dartboard and throw darts at it. A quiet word will suffice. So it might be a bit controversial. It depends how brave I am. I can feel my eye twitching, so it might not be controversial at all. I might skip bits out. But here we go. We're carrying on with our Creed series. Previously, we've done God the Father, his work of creation. You can see a sequence coming here. Then we did God the Son, Jesus Christ, his work of salvation, because we all disobeyed God and fell. And today we're looking at the Holy Spirit. I believe in the Holy Spirit. Now this is too big a subject to cover in whatever time I've got. I was comforted. I thought I've got a good book on the Holy Spirit. So I tried to get it off the shelf and it was too heavy for me. I've grown old since I bought it. It's 1,000 pages. And I thought, better not looking at that. It'll take too long. So I've cut a lot out. So if there's anything that you think I should put in, again, please have a word with me afterwards and we'll have a chat about that. So God the Father, that's fine. Nice metaphor, isn't it, about God being our Heavenly Father and how we love jumping on his knee and him looking after us. Jesus, God the Son, his work of redemption, dying on a cross so our sins forgiven. We can get our head a bit round that. But what about the Holy Spirit? It's even worse in the King James Bible. It's the Holy Ghost. The Holy Spirit. So what is the Holy Spirit? What is it? Is it an impersonal force that God uses, that can manipulate to our own advantage? Good or evil? What's happened there? Oh, here it comes. Eventually, the force awakens. It took a while, didn't it, then? Is the Holy Spirit like the force in Star Wars? Not really, because the force is impersonal. The force can be used for good or for evil. There's a dark side of the force. So the Holy Spirit certainly isn't the force in the Star Wars. Don't get me wrong, I love Star Wars. It's just we have to watch it with our eyes open. And it was interesting, the Star Wars films were written to bring a spirituality to younger people in our secular age. But it's not Christian spirituality, it's far from it. Although the fight between good and evil, you can see some connection with that. But certainly the force is not the Holy Spirit. Is it an impersonal force that God uses to get things done? That's what Jehovah's Witnesses believe. They equate it to, say, electricity. Yeah, you switch the television on. Electricity goes down the wires, does the electronics, and a picture appears. So God is the person who flicks the switch. The Holy Spirit is this power. Yeah? So, is that the Holy Spirit? I don't think so. The perspectives, as ingenious as they are, don't square with biblical teaching. The Bible teaches that the Holy Spirit is a person, and it's clear the Holy Spirit is more than just an impersonal force. So we'll come to that. So first of all, the Holy Spirit is a person. Hundreds of scriptures to show for that. I'll just do 4 or 5. John 14, verses 15 to 17. You probably won't have time to find these. Just write them down. This is Jesus speaking before he was crucified. I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper to be with you forever, even the Spirit of truth. So Jesus is talking about the Holy Spirit as being another helper, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. Notice Jesus calls the Holy Spirit another helper, and the Greek word for another there means another of the same kind. So the one that's coming is going to be God, and is going to be a person. So, and it refers to the Holy Spirit as him regularly through that passage. John 14, verses 25 to 26. These things I have spoken to you while I am still with you. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you. The Holy Spirit teaches. See, can electricity teach? Can the Star Wars impersonal force teach? No. The Holy Spirit is different. The Holy Spirit is a person. 1 Corinthians 12:11. All these, that's the gifts of the Holy Spirit, are empowered by one and the same Spirit, who apportions to each one individually as he wills. Has electricity got a will? No, the Holy Spirit has a will, unlike an impersonal force. And finally, Ephesians 4 verse 30, and do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God. See, the Holy Spirit has feelings. Can you say electricity or an impersonal force has feelings? No, of course not. Because the Holy Spirit is a person who has feelings. And the Bible clearly teaches that the Holy Spirit is God. Just a couple of verses for this one. We need to be moving on. Hebrews 9:14. How much more will the blood who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without blemish to God purify our conscience from dead works to serve the living God? The Holy Spirit, the eternal Spirit. Who is eternal? Am I eternal? I've not always existed. Are you eternal? You've not always existed. Is this universe eternal? No. Some think it started with the Big Bang. So it's certainly not eternal. Only God is eternal. And here the writer to the Hebrews is saying the Holy Spirit is eternal. Has always existed in the past and always will exist in the future. The Holy Spirit must be God. Acts 5, verses 3 to 4. But Peter said, Ananias, why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit and to keep back for yourself part of the proceeds of the land? While it remained unsold, did it not remain your own? And after it was sold, was it not at your disposal? Why is it that you have contrived this deed in your heart? You have not lied to man, but to God. So there Luke's saying that Ananias, when he lied to the Holy Spirit, he lied to God, associating the Holy Spirit with God. So the Bible affirms that the Holy Spirit is a person, somebody we can have a relationship, and is God. This leads on, of course, to the doctrine of the Holy Spirit. We've had God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Perhaps at another day we'll look into that. But for the time being, we're just concentrated on the Holy Spirit. So what does he do? Well, again, we could have spent hours on this. So we'll just look at a subset of things that the Holy Spirit does. So here we see the creed, a logical progression. God the Father created everything. God the Son, his work of salvation, Jesus Christ. And God the Holy Spirit, we're looking at his work in applying the salvation that Jesus Christ won for us. So we're looking at his work of applying salvation to us. The work of the Holy Spirit. Gordon Fee, that's the one who wrote this 1,000-page book. He's a Pentecostal theologian. He says the Holy Spirit is God's empowering presence. And he said those three words are very important and meaningful. It's God, it's empowering, and he's present with us. That means you, that means me. We have direct access to the power of God. That amazing? Little old me, I've got direct access to the power of God. So let's have a look at the work of the Holy Spirit, God's empowering presence. First of all, the Holy Spirit saves us. We all need saving. We all agree that. We preach this week after week after week. Since Adam and Eve's first sin, we're all born in sin. We're all born unable not to sin. Yeah, you can't not sin. It just is in you that you will always sin. And we're all born in rebellion against God. Yeah. Nobody in their natural state desires to turn to God. Yeah. So it's not like everybody's banging at the door of heaven and God's saying, no, you can't come in. If you're banging at the door of heaven, God will let you in. But nobody in the natural state desires to turn to God. Naturally, we reject God. So how does God intervene to give people the desire to turn to him? Famous passage, John 3, verses 3 to 5. Jesus answered Nicodemus, truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus said to him, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. So it's God that causes a person to be born again, or born of water and the Spirit. It's a supernatural act of God. It's instigated by God, it's not instigated by us. This is when God's Holy Spirit comes to live in us. And this is the fulfillment of Christ's words just before he was crucified. We've read the passage, John 14, verses 15 to 7. I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper to be with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him, for he dwells with you, and listen to this, and will be in you. So at that time, before the crucifixion, the Holy Spirit dwelled with the believers, as he did throughout the Old Testament. But after the resurrection, after the ascension, Jesus went back to heaven, the Holy Spirit came, the church age, the Holy Spirit actually lives in us. So if you are a Christian tonight, the Holy Spirit lives in your spirit. I just think that's amazing. You could ponder that for ages, couldn't you? For years and years. God, the Holy Spirit, lives in my spirit, lives in my heart. I just think that's amazing. Yeah, contain your excitement. It's okay. Yeah, just hold it back. Yeah, might come a bit later on. You never know. And when the Holy Spirit comes to live in a person, everything changes. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, if anyone is in Christ or is a Christian, he is a new creation or creature even, some translations put. We're changed. What changes are made? Well, our wills are freed from the slavery of sin. And it becomes our desire to turn to God. And it's inevitable that we will then make a free will decision to turn to Christ. Summed up, I think, beautifully in Charles Wesley's great hymn, And Can It Be? What a hymn that is. This is verse 4. Listen to this. Long my imprisoned spirit lay, fast bound in sin and nature's night. See, we are slaves to sin before God takes action. That's called original sin. Long my imprisoned spirit lay, fast bound in sin and nature's light. Then a bit of oldie worldy English kind of stuff. Thine eye diffused a quickening ray. Actually means God sent out a life-giving ray. That's the Holy Spirit. It was God who sent the Holy Spirit to Charles Wesley. And what does he say he did then? I woke, this is him being born again, I woke the dungeon flame with light, my chains fell off and my heart was free. Wow. When we sing that, I go all goosey. I can see you do too. Probably boredom though, but anyway. I woke the dungeon flame with light. My chains fell off, my heart was free. It's a bit like Amazing Grace, isn't it, that? And what did he do? He made a free will decision. God had done all this stuff. He was changed. It was inevitable that he would then say, I rose, went forth, and followed thee. Hallelujah. So that's the process of salvation. It takes a work of God. Nothing up to you. God comes, does the work, changes your nature. Inevitably, you see God as he really is. Inevitably, you say, yeah, like Charles Wesley, I want to follow you. I want you as my saviour. Yeah. So when we see commitments, people coming forward, yeah, I give my life to Jesus Christ. Why is that? Because they've made the decision. Yes, but prior to that, God had done a work in their hearts. God had taken the slavery of sin away from them. God had made them see the reality of what he's like. So that's the glorious saving work of the Holy Spirit. Moving on, the Holy Spirit keeps us saved. Wow. John 14, verse 17, we've read it. The Holy Spirit dwells with you and will be in you. The Greek for be in you there has the meaning of taking up permanent residence. When you're born again, the Holy Spirit takes up permanent residence in your heart. He won't desert you when things start going wrong. He will persevere with you so that eventually you'll end up in heaven. He's not pitched a tent. It doesn't say I've pitched a tent, which he can dismantle and clear off. He said, no, I've taken up permanent residence. Your person has become my person. And he's taken up permanent residence no matter what the storms of life. You sometimes think, I see that person going through such a horrible time. I think I would desert God if that happened. Well, do you know what? You wouldn't. Because God, the Holy Spirit, will be working in your life to make sure that you don't desert sufficiently to lose your salvation. And it said everywhere in Scripture, what did Jesus say? He said, my sheep hear my voice and I hold them in my hand. Yeah. And nothing can ever take them out of my hands. Paul, in Romans 8, what does he say? Nothing can separate us from the love of God. He didn't say nothing except, perhaps if you're too naughty, that'll be a bit too much. Then he will, you know, or he'll get rid of you then. No, it's absolute nothing. Absolutely nothing can separate you from the love of God. So if you're saying, oh, well, I can do what I like then, maybe you're not saved. Because when you were saved, you've seen God as he is. You've seen the pain that Christ went through the sacrifice because of your sins and what he's done for you. Once you've seen that, you don't want to cause God any grief whatsoever. And you can grieve the Holy Spirit because you love him so much. So, the Holy Spirit keeps us saved. I'm not going to have time for the controversial stuff. Thank goodness. Oh, God, you like me being then, man. The Holy Spirit empowers us for Christian living, okay? God doesn't tell us to do things. You know, Scripture's full of you shall do this, you shall do the other, and then act as a cheerleader. Go, you can do it. That's not God. He actually comes down, lives in you, and helps you through the things he's asked you to do. Because you've been changed by God. If anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. The Holy Spirit lives in us. But of course, when God makes demands on our lives, we're empowered to do it. But we also have to say, yeah, I'm going to try. You know, we don't just walk around limp. You know, oh, God will sort it. No, we've got to try. Yeah? And I just want to read quickly a passage which talks about the fruit of the Holy Spirit in our lives. Just let me read this. And it's from Galatians 5, verses 19 to 25. Now, the works of the flesh are evident. That means our sort of worldly nature. Sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger. Oh. Rivalries, dissensions, divisions, envy, drunkenness. Hey, you're not going to tell me you were drunk on Saturday night again, are you? Drunkenness, orgies. A little bit of some fun memory. And things like these, I warn you, as I warned you before, that those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. Then he comes on. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. And those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh, that's our worldly nature, with its passions and desires. If we live by the Spirit's given us eternal life, then let us also walk by the Spirit. Yeah? So all the Spirit is changing you to be more loving, to be more caring, to have more faith. Yet you've got to make that effort. You've got to try and be more loving. I'm trying to be loving to my dog at the moment. I need counselling for this afterwards. If I could have prayer after that, would be brilliant. We've got to be more loving. We've got to be more joyful in times, in bad times. The power of the Holy Spirit gives us a joy, even in bad times. Peace. In the middle of the night, when you wake up. I'm not at peace. I don't know if you are. God's Holy Spirit wants you to be at peace, no matter what. Patient. Who's patient? No, nobody. Who's kind? I think we can be kind sometimes. Goodness, faithfulness, gentleness. You know, I once heard somebody say, "Ah, but he's a church leader, so he doesn't need to be gentle." Is that what it says here? No, I've got to be gentle. That is the nature of a good leader, is to be gentle and self-controlled, as we all are to be like that. So we live by the Spirit give us life. Let us walk with the Spirit. Let's go with what the Holy Spirit is trying to do in our lives, produce the fruit of the Holy Spirit. And finally, the Holy Spirit empowers us for Christian service. The Holy Spirit, first of all, gives us gifts. See, it's coming, this, can't you? To enable us to serve the church. Now, gifts can be talents that we already have, that God uses supernaturally in us, but they can also be something that we didn't have before. Yeah? Nobody before they became a Christian would have the gift of tongues, not from the Holy Spirit anyway. Yeah, that would be a new gift that God has given you. And the list of gifts in the Bible aren't exhaustive. It doesn't mean that's all there are. There are about three or four lists of gifts. And they range from the gift of administration. Yeah? How we need administrators, Alan. Save us a lot of work, that's for sure. The gift of helps. People who are always helping other people. That's a supernatural gift of the Holy Spirit. Very important one. And then we go to the more charismatic ones, as they're called, healing, prophecy, tongues, and so on. The Holy Spirit gives every Christian a gift to serve the church. Go on, I'll look at 1 Corinthians 12, verses 1 to 11. This is the controversial one. This is the one that causes so much problems in different churches. No. This is Paul writing in 1 Corinthians 12. "Now, concerning spiritual gifts, brothers, I do not want you to be uninformed. You know that you were pagans. When you were pagans, you were led astray to mute idols, however you were led. Therefore, I want you to understand that no one speaking in the Spirit of God ever says Jesus is accursed, and no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. Now, there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit, and there are varieties of service, but the same Lord, and there are varieties of activities, but it is the same God who empowers them all in everyone. To each is given a manifestation of the Spirit for the common good." You're a Christian, you've got a gift. "For to one is given through the Spirit the utterance of wisdom." Yeah, people who could say a wise thing in a difficult situation, that comes from God. to another, the utterance of knowledge. That's into a difficult situation. Somebody brings some knowledge in that helps that they've not learned. It's come straight from the Holy Spirit, according to the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. That's not saving faith. That's actually somebody who... I love people with this kind of faith, because when a leadership team is saying, no, not sure we could do that, you know, there's some people say, we could do it. We can do it. I love those people. Yeah, we don't always do it. We might get a bloody nose. But yeah, that makes Christianity exciting. People with this gift of faith. Want more of them. To another, faith, I say, to another, gifts of healing. People who regularly play with people and regularly we see healings happening. To another, working of miracles. That's just any kind of miracle that can't be done naturally. To another, prophecy. New Testament prophecy usually involves somebody giving a word that's a word of encouragement to the church in general or people within the church. It's never a word of condemnation. It's usually... I mean, I've been to meetings where somebody's got up and said, the Lord says, I love you all. And I think, is that what the Lord said? It's true, so it doesn't matter. Let's go with it. Yeah. To another, the ability to distinguish between spirits. Again, we went to a meeting in Manchester and this person got up speaking in tongues. We'll come to that in a bit. And the leader of the meeting said, sit down, please. He detected that that wasn't coming from the Holy Spirit, so he stopped it straight away. So that's distinguished between spirits. To another, various kinds of tongues. Tongues are languages that you've not learned. They can be angelic languages. They can be languages that are human that you've never learned. To another, interpretation of tongues. Somebody who knows what's said in one of these tongues, these languages. All these are empowered by one of the same Spirit to apportion to each one individually as he wills. So those are the gifts of the Holy Spirit, the charismatic ones. And the reason they cause a lot of problems in the church is that there are evangelical, Bible-believing Christians who believe those gifts died out with the apostles, or certainly with the writing of the Bible. They argue that in those days there was no Bible in the early Christian days, therefore gifts of the Spirit authenticated what the apostles were saying. And once they'd, we said the Holy Spirit was sent to teach the apostles what to write down in the Bible. So once he'd done that, then we had the Bible. We didn't need these charismatic gifts of the Holy Spirit. So they believe they're ceased and don't exist anymore. To the other end were churches believe that the gifts of the Holy Spirit manifest just as they did in New Testament times, with as much regularity, with as much power, and all those kinds of things. So there's those. So where are we? This is where I get sacked, isn't it? This is where the dartboard goes up. Where are we? Yeah, we're Anglican. We're in the middle. Are the spiritual gifts available today? Yeah, of course they are. I can't tell God, no, you're not allowing that. We're not allowing it here. Of course, gifts of the Holy Spirit. Yeah, of course they do manifest. Do they manifest like they did in the New Testament? I've never seen anybody healed because they've grabbed hold of my trouser leg. So I would say the gifts of the Spirit don't operate at the same intensity, but I can't say anywhere in Scripture that they've ceased. So our official position is on spiritual gifts is that we're open, but we're cautious. Because in my ultra-charismatic days, I saw people damaged through the assumption that if you pray for somebody to be healed, they will be healed. I've seen people damaged because the healing didn't come in a lot of cases. And then we had to start saying it was because the person didn't have enough faith. That's why he didn't get healed. So I saw people damaged. So I'm personally cautious, but I love the gifts of the Spirit, and I think they are available, but we just need to be careful. Not all right, am I up on the dartboard yet? No? And I've got to fear it. The Holy Spirit empowers us to be witnesses of Jesus Christ. You can read it yourself, Acts 1, 6 to 8, where Jesus said, you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, and all, when the Holy Spirit comes. So we'll move on quickly. So finally, summary, the person of the Holy Spirit is person and is God. The Holy Spirit saves us. The Holy Spirit keeps us saved. The Holy Spirit empowers us for Christian living. The Holy Spirit empowers us for Christian service. That's what we've all covered. So finally, we're like taking something home for the week, don't we? The Holy Spirit and you. John 14:17. You know him, that's the Holy Spirit, for he dwells with you and will be in you. After Jesus ascended back to heaven, the Holy Spirit was sent on the day of Pentecost and will dwell in each individual believer of Jesus Christ. God, the Holy Spirit, lives in us. So when you go out of here tonight, God, the Holy Spirit, goes out in your heart with you. Yeah. So the main purpose of the Holy Spirit, it said in John there, is to bring glory to Jesus Christ in your life. That's his main purpose. He doesn't want the glory for himself. He wants you to do the works and have the nature of Jesus Christ, to bring glory to Jesus Christ. And then he rejoices when that happens. So that's our role. And you know, I hear a lot of Christians say, we're going to this place where the Holy Spirit is manifest more powerfully. It's like a BT Wi-Fi hotspot. And I'm thinking, I thought the Holy Spirit was here. Why do you need to go somewhere else? Now, no problem with people going to nice places and drawing close to God. But it's not because you've got a Wi-Fi hotspot there. It's just because situation that you can concentrate on the Holy Spirit who is in you. Yeah, don't think by going, it's part of the Catholic tradition, isn't it? Don't think you have a better chance of getting healed by going to that place where they all go to. Holy Spirit is here. You don't need to go to these places. The Holy Spirit lives in you. All you need to do to bring glory to Jesus Christ is be obedient, is to listen to the Holy Spirit. Listen to him wherever you are. Here, when you're at home, when you're at work, through prayer, through worship. Can be here or on your own, through meditation, thinking about God in all his glory, through Bible reading and Bible study. That's how you get filled with the Holy Spirit. Filled means you're operating, you're saved by the Spirit, and you're walking in the Spirit. That's what it means to be filled by the Spirit. Gordon Fee says, as I've said, God's empowering presence. You have direct access to God. You have all the power that God can provide for you to bring glory to the name of Jesus Christ. And when people see Jesus in you, they'll be attracted. That's what we want, isn't it? People to be attracted to Jesus Christ. People coming along here and experiencing Jesus Christ and turning to him and being saved. Hey? It's all here in you. Take hold of that. Pray. Read your Bibles, meditate, draw close to God, the Holy Spirit in you. Amen.